Hey, what's up, everybody? Krista here with the Krista and Ed Show. And today we bring to you a true power couple. Depesh and Shalina are both parents of four children who are currently residing and working in London. They have an amazing story and journey of entrepreneurship to share with you guys. You're not going to want to miss this one, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Krista and Ed Show. This is where we are going to document our journey on everything partnership in love and in business. We are not holding anything back, guys. So if you want to learn about online marketing and what goes on in an everyday life of a husband and wife, making these two things work together, make sure you follow us. And guess what? Everything's gonna be all right and okay.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Krista and Ed Show. And I'm Ed and
Krista.
And we are so excited. We have some special guests today. We have Depesh Mandalia and Shalina Barak. They're truly a power couple. They're parents of four children residing and living, working in London, England. And their interesting story is that in 2012, they founded an agency called SM Commerce. In 2014, Depesh was invited to join a Facebook advisory council. And in 2016, Shalina was invited to the UK Facebook SME advisory council.
Yeah.
And in 2017, they founded Zasser Digital, which focuses on Facebook ads, courses, business coaching. They've been responsible for over $100 million in revenue in the past decade. Like, woo! And The last 2 years, they have seen a huge demand for Depesh to travel globally to do speaking engagements and conferences. We want to welcome you to our show. So thanks for taking the time. We know you guys are both really, really busy. And we're excited to hear about your story. So maybe we'll hand it off to you.
Absolute pleasure. For you guys, we've got all the time. It was actually great to meet you in Nashville a few weeks ago. I know we've been connected for a year. And you're in our favorite country as well, in Canada, which is so cool as well.
Yes.
So, I'm really honored to be part of this and talk with you guys. It's been really great to meet you guys in person.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to spending more time together and working together. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I know that probably 2 years ago, Krista mentioned Depesh, actually. She was on Facebook and involved with Rachel, SMU and everything. And she's like, this guy's really interesting. And in fact, I think I saw him on a frozen lake in Sylvan Lake or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
So even back that, she's like, we should check out what he's doing because it's really interesting.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was, I think, one of your first posts in, maybe it was the ClickFunnels community group.
That's right.
I ever saw, you know, anything from you. And I was like, whoa, this guy's so interesting.
There's an interesting story behind that, actually, because I was, this was kind of mid-2017, and I was kind of thinking about all the work I do. I was actually quite involved with startups in London. So I do work for a startup accelerator, working with founders and things like that. I was well-connected in London. But obviously, being kind of in a city is different to being in a country. So my goal was, could I replicate that across the UK? And so I kind of brought a mentor on board. And I kind of saw that Facebook groups were obviously a big thing and there's lots of good conversations going. But I wasn't confident sharing my successes. And I wasn't even sure people would be interested or whether I had anything of value. And so he said, like, what's your biggest case study? I said, well, you know, a few years ago, we took an e-com store to $26.5 million in 18 months. He goes, dude, that's huge. And I was like, yeah, we did it right. He goes, look, listen, write it up and go and share it in a few groups and just see what happens. And I did, and it just blew up from that.
I think our biggest takeaway is that us Brits are very modest.
Canadians are like that,
not
too.
Not a big deal. Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, like when you're actually, you know, sharing that kind of stuff in –
front of the right audience too, right? That people are receptive to it. I know at the time I still had my online boutique. So when I saw that, I was like, whoa, that would be like magic for my business, right? You know what I mean? But regardless of that, I just thought that the way you stood out to me, because you're very professional and it didn't come across as, you know, bragging, like, look at me. It was like,
authentic.
These are the facts. And then, yeah, you were like in our province at Sylvan Lake, I think. And I'm like,
that's right.
What are you doing here? Anyways,
you don't belong on the ice either.
Well, you just
I actually nearly fell into the lake, just as an FYI. I wasn't
being lake-wise. It's not all frozen and we're going, stop!
I was doing the Facebook Live and not actually looking at where I was walking and nearly ended up in the water. Because I could just hear in the distance someone shouting. I thought I'd just look around. And they're like, wait, stop, stop. And then I realized I'm right at the edge of the frozen part.
We could have come back with a deep-opsicle. Oh, my gosh.
A deep-opsicle. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we say ice lolly. I've even got the lingo down.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry. Go on.
I got hijacked by the little guy.
It's fine. Yeah,
that's fine. You wouldn't have had that this year with the weather being minus 44. It would have probably been like 4 feet of frozen ice. So,
yeah. Okay. Continue.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We're getting hijacked here a little bit. But yeah. So, so maybe tell me a little bit more about overall your story. Like, so I know that you've gone through a lot of adversity. Like, I think in 2009, you had been in the kind of corporate side of things and you got laid off. And then in 2012, I mean, you had focused on SEO and a lot of that type of area of the business, but driving affiliate marketing. And then really with the Google slap or snap, whatever you want to call it these days, you know, that kind of disappeared. And then really you had to pivot. So you've kind of actually, you guys have had to pivot multiple times. And obviously there's an impact on the family, right? And going from being kind of in corporate and then being an entrepreneur, you know, like what was the juggle like? What was the dynamic?
I think if I just start off. So I think initially we were both in like corporate. And the reason we kind of stuck to that was because of that safety element. Oh, we've got a house, we're starting the family, we need the job security. And then what happened was we weren't feeling fulfilled and we had so much more to give, but we were kind of being held by this 9 to 5, clock in, clock out, keep the stability post.
Yeah.
And then what we started to do initially was experiment in the back. So before our family grew to the size it is, we started doing our own little stuff at home. So we built up SM Commerce and we were still working at that time. And when we first started putting the legwork in, and then we started seeing some really huge success. I mean, it was like we were almost working 3 jobs between us. And then I think once I had the first child, I think Deepesh continued to just keep the 9 to 5 and be structured.
Yeah.
And I started to work more on the SMC stuff. And like together, we'd like bounce ideas off one another. He'd give me a bit of his knowledge in one area and I'd add my own. And then we started to see that. Actually, even while I was on maternity leave, balancing the children, I was able to grow this business even on my own.
Yeah.
And then I think it was when we had our second child that Deepesh kind of had a rethink. So.
Well, I wouldn't say a rethink. I had a bit of a shock to the system. So it's 2 months before our second child was due in, I think about July, August in 2009.
It was the day they told me I was free to go on maternity leave.
Yeah, so I got called into the office. So actually, this was kind of mid the global financial crisis where lots of businesses were suffering. We seem to have weathered it, and some of the people in the team were let go because they were downsizing, and we all felt like we were safe. And then I got called into the office to say, your role's redundant, you've lost your job. So, you know, I've been there just under 5 years, so you kind of get used to a place, and it just felt so familiar. But it wasn't a problem. I thought I'd just go and find another job. Two and a half months later, I'm still looking for a job because the thing is, like, all these companies are downsizing. We'd only recently just bought our own house and had a big mortgage and moved to a nicer area. Obviously, second child on the way and all the pressures that come with that. I kind of fell into a depression. I didn't know it at the time. It's something that Shalina recognized and actually pulled me through. But one thing that we did realize was after kind of 3 to 4 weeks of literally doing nothing, like I'd wake up late and just not do anything in the daytime. Shalina kind of reminded me that we were trying to do this affiliate marketing thing. Why don't you actually use the time that you've got to put more time in? Because we're doing it part-time and there's some stuff happening. So I then started to put more time and energy into affiliate marketing. Then as I kind of changed my mindset, actually we had a few job offers come in. So two came in, actually got a job that paid twice what I was on before. So that kind of worked out. So I took the job, but then I continued the affiliate marketing on the side. And then 2 years later, we created seven-figure revenue through that affiliate marketing stuff that we're doing part-time. Yeah. Then in 2012, we're all super confident. We're going to leave our job. Everything's going to be great. And then what happened was that Google thing, because our affiliate business was 100% relying on free SEO traffic. So we've done some SEO magic to get that happening. But at the same time, we didn't build a list. We didn't build a customer database or anything. So we'd get the traffic, send it to our merchant. If they bought a product, then we get paid. But when that traffic went to zero, we literally had anything. And that was a massive jolt to the system, because we were so close to leaving a 9-to-5 corporate world.
And it really got us through. Like, it got me through my maternity. It gave me that freedom to actually not rush back to work.
Yeah.
Because I could juggle the children, and it didn't mean I had to be at my desk 9-to-5, but one would be napping and one might be going to the daycare or whatever you want to call it. And I'd be doing that work in that time. And I was really proficient. I was like a robot. I was fast. I knew exactly what to do. Yeah. And then I could go back to the kids and I could still bring in that paycheck. So it was almost like for at least three of my children, I had this safety net all the time because we always kept it ticking. So I think it was. And then I think...
Yeah. And then actually in 2012, so this was the second jolt of kind of just literally zeroing our business. That's when I started to explore Facebook ads a bit more, because I was looking for other channels, right? I needed to plug traffic in. I couldn't rebuild free traffic. I needed a plug and play. So I was looking at Google paid search. At that time, I was actually spending significant budget on paid search. So working for the company at the time, I was doing, a good seven figures a year ad spend on paid search. I knew that really well. Also similar spend on TV and a few other things. So as far as marketing and paid campaigns go, I was doing pretty well. But Facebook, I hadn't yet mastered. And it took me 18 months of fudging and messing up and all that until a startup reached out and said, look, we're looking for some help with growth marketing. This was in 2014. And I joined them on a 6-week contract. And they said, look, we just need some help to figure things out.
And I think, again, you should mention here that he actually moved from his job. So this was an interim 6 weeks. While I'm looking, I'll give you a bit of help. Yeah. You know,
It was like 8 or 10 people. It was a messy startup. They couldn't even pay me properly. I wasn't worried because it was a short-term thing. And I was just kind of doing it.
And because he's a nice kind of guy, he was like, all right, I'll take the low pay. I'll just help you up.
Because it was a cool product. It was a great product anyway. So I thought that was cool. It would be good to see what I could do. And actually, within 3 to 4 weeks of testing lots of channels, fixing their sales funnel, their landing pages, doing A/B testing, Facebook started to work. And we were spending like 2K a month, making 2K, spending 3K, making 4K, and then just slightly tweaking it until I think it was like the month later, we ended up spending something like, 3 or 4K and made 10K. Now all of a sudden we're profitable. And then the next month we doubled that until we spent, 10K and made 50K. And I was like, wow, this is huge. Now, an interesting point at that point was, I think we had our fourth child, right?
I think they should have given him a pay rise.
Yeah.
I didn't get the pay rise, but at that time, because they were offering me a contract, I actually found a permanent role. And they said, look, we need you. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, but you guys can't afford me. I've done the best I can. And they said, can you help us find someone? And that's when I had the conversation with Shalina.
He found an amazing candidate. And then he realized that he lived with me.
So she was actually on maternity leave with our fourth child. And I was just saying to Shalina, look, I'm looking for someone to join this company. They're looking for a Facebook ads person. And she said, well, could you not train me up? Could I not do it? And so I proposed it to them. I said, look, if you pay me a consulting fee, I will personally train her up and I'll be her accountable mentor. You can take her on for free for 4 weeks, give her a trial. If it works out, keep her. If not, then at least you've got my input via Shalina. And yeah, you kind of took
And I think it worked really well because it meant that Deepesh could train me when I had time. We were on each other's clocks. So he'd make time. We'd just work around the kids and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they gave me that flexibility of working from home. And I think literally within 2 months, I'd turned around the figures in that company so significantly. they didn't want to let me go. They offered me a proper decent salary. I was still allowed to work from home.
Yeah.
And I think it remained, and then it got so huge. I think we went worldwide, we went global. And I was managing like 10 to 12 different countries speaking different languages and all these budgets and stuff. And it was like huge. And I was still able to do it and have the kids and balance everything. Yeah. And then I think what happened is about probably when my youngest son was about a year, I started to commute in because it had become such a big thing. I couldn't do it from home part time anymore. I had really grown it.
Yeah.
And then I think Deepesh came back.
Yeah, so
it was so desperate. We needed more people that knew what they were doing.
So they managed to, with our kind of initial success. Sorry?
Sorry, then she's like, I know this guy. I don't know.
That's exactly it.
Him.
Absolutely.
But the only thing is you got to pay him more.
So yeah, that, I mean, that was a crazy experience. So kind of 2014 to 2016, we helped that company go from 800K a year to 8 million, then 8 million to 25 and a half million. Now, because it was, I think it was the fastest growing startup at that time for Facebook, we as a company and also me and Shalina became like the poster child. So,
and like the national papers were coming up to us. Can we interview you? Can we do, yeah. You know, they really wanted to know what was it. And I think, you know, it's a shame that at that point we didn't embrace the fact that it's not knowing Facebook. And I think this is one of the questions we wanted to talk about. What makes us different is we're not a Facebook agency. We're not Facebook agents. We understand marketing. We've done SEO. We've done the affiliate stuff. We understand Facebook. We've done, you know, we've come from a background at educational level where we've studied all of this stuff. And when you bring that all together, yeah, it is so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare to find someone that has got a really good knowledge of everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what our business and what we bring as a team together.
Yes.
So I think that's one of our biggest achievements.
You know what? That's incredible you say that. Like, I think about what Kristen and I have been working on, and there is that baseline of knowledge, that intelligence that you get from, like, I worked for a boutique agency doing SEO work, and my agency that I just sold, like literally in the last, and the building sold in the last month.
Like it closes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
No, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It closed yesterday. I picked up the last of the furniture. But anyways, you know, we did a lot of media planning and buying and strategy, and then Google partners, so doing pay-per-click. So taking all of that knowledge base and then going and applying it to, let's say, Facebook as an example, you have all of that analytical kind of perspective already, as opposed to somebody cold, deciding that they want to manage Facebook ads and taking the free courses online.
Well,
you know,
and I mean, for us too, that was kind of an epiphany we had. And I'm envious a little bit of you guys that you're further along in the journey working together, because that's not always easy either.
So actually we were trained in a really, like, we had a baptism of fire. So whatever you see right now, trust me, like, our marriage almost didn't survive.
Right.
So
it was so bad that we would drive to the same company together, because we've actually worked together 4 or 5 times. And in our first 2 years of marriage, it's like, just stop the car, I'll walk the rest.
Okay.
And
okay,
so it's driving, and then I'm walking in.
So we actually worked together right after we got married. So I was working for a company at the time, and there was a position that opened up, and I said, Shalina, you might be interested. And I remember my manager at the time. My manager at the time said, I'm not sure as a couple it'd be right for you, because also the position was to report into me. So it wasn't even just working in the company, it was in my team. And he said, look, I trust you, I trust your integrity, but I'm going to give you 4 weeks. If it doesn't work out, you have to let it go. And I said, absolutely fine. But it worked out. At least it seemed to work out. Obviously, what happens behind the scenes, it was half.
What really worked was he knew he was in charge at work, and I knew when that door shut, I was in charge at home.
Right? I think that's why it took so long for him to find me, join me. He's like, but at home? We're working at home? I'm like, yes.
No, it's
roles, right? Yeah. We both ran our own businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the corporate world for 15 years before I, you know, stayed home with my kids and started my own thing. But, you know, we're both also, like, I would say a little bit headstrong too, right? Like, we have our ways, we have our ideas and all that kind of stuff. So that's where it's like, no, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm the boss. No, I'm, like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
And
we don't argue about that anymore, because I just know I'm the boss.
Well, he won't just bow down. That's the problem. Dipesh, talk to this guy.
I even remember coming home, and I can laugh back at the time. It was horrible. But at that time, I'd be like, you're not in charge anymore. I'll do what I want. And I'd like throw my things around.
So Dipesh, you know, it says happy wife, happy life. I say happy spouse, happy house. Right?
Nice. Right?
Anyways, no, it is. But you know what? In saying that, it's awesome because at the same time, I do find that we're exploring another part of our relationship on a deeper level that does, in a funny way, actually strengthen it even more. So that's the power of, you know, also working together and towards the same vision, you know. All of a sudden, everything just seems even more clear in the sense of, like, there's different stresses, right? Where you're like, okay, now I have control over the next steps in front of me. And yeah, like, why wouldn't you just do life with your partner, even if they don't listen a lot?
And the thing is, we chose to work from home and build a team that's working remotely because whilst I was working for that company, scaling them up into silly numbers, I would leave home at 7 a.m, I'd come home at 7, 8 p.m. And as you know, you're going to miss that quality time with the kids in the morning and afternoon as well. And I was doing that for a good 12 months before I realized what I was actually doing. And I was sacrificing the present with my kids to try and build a better future. And that was a complete wrong thing to do. So we've changed that around. We work from home. We spend so much more time with the kids.
And I think it was always also recognizing, like, I know, like, we've got average families of 2.4, but because we had chosen to have a larger family, as great as mother I think I am, I just really felt like I was stretching myself to balance the time that Dipesh had to work to keep us going. I mean, I had to keep telling myself when I get frustrated, he's doing this for us.
Yes.
We've chosen to have this larger family and he's sacrificing the time. But at the same time, I was just getting like, oh, you know, I need a break. I don't want to do a 24-hour shift. Let me out of here kind of thing.
And, you know, I can totally relate to you and I appreciate you talking about that too. Like, I was always torn and I think that's just a mother's guilt or whatever. Even after my first daughter, you know, of should I go back to the corporate world or stay home with my kids? I did decide to go back with her, but I fought myself all the time while I was there. I was like, I should be home. When I you know, was home, I was like, I should be there, right? So after my son came is when I decided, you know, to stay home. But I started my own business because I also knew myself well enough to know that, you know, I was independent. I still wanted my own money, but I also needed this to be challenged, right? Or I would go into a depression. Nobody would be happy, yeah. Right? Because I'm not, you know, like, I'm not like a baker. Like, I'm not like the mom who's like, let's make cookies for your class. And I'm not making
cookies. Oh, I'm not that mom.
I've tried it. I can't do it. It's not me. Right?
Did you hear what I said earlier? I said by kid number 4, I was willing to work for free.
No, so I totally get
that. Just get me out of here.
I totally get that. And I have to say, I think that's probably one of the things that has kept me sane, you know, is being able to, you know, I mean, in this day and age, the internet is an amazing thing because you really can, you know, build your life around it. So he knew what I was up to, but not really. He was like, why are you always playing on Facebook? I'm like, oh, I'm working, you know, but,
you know, literally up until 6 months ago, I would get my briefcase and my laptop and my gear and go into our ad agency and work and then come home at 6 or 7 at night. So,
but even him,
in fact, one of the interviews you had not long ago that I kind of skimmed talked about that a little bit about being present, yeah. You know, like you were saying, it's like, I can be there, but am I really present with my kids or with my family, my spouse? Yeah. Right. And I think you even brought up date night and things like that. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. Like, how is that going? Cause that's something.
I don't even know what date night is. What is it?
Well, we struggle with that.
I think it's when, like, you leave the house and you get treated for dinner or something.
No.
I don't know.
So here's step one. I've got 4 kids. Can you babysit?
Nobody's answering. I know.
You know, funny thing is, so we were speaking to some house sitters and, you know, trying to get people that would just come on a Saturday, like literally every Saturday for 4 hours and just sit the kids. And they were like, so how many kids? Yeah, 4 kids. All right, we're going to send 2 nannies over. Like, well, what?
I was like, I'm doing this on my own. What do you need two nannies for? I've got good kids.
Yeah.
Really good.
So you're supposed to say two kids on the second floor and two. Yeah, yeah.
So you've got two kids and two helpers.
But I'm like the type of person. Sorry?
I said it's not four kids. It's two kids and two helpers.
Yeah, yeah, I guess, yeah. Hey? That's
right. Because the older two help out.
Yeah. How old are your, what's the range?
Oh, God.
So the eldest is 11, and then we've got 9, 7, and 5.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're very similar. We've got two that are older, 16 and 18, and then we have the 5 and the 7. So
I call those babysitters.
They are. Yeah, mm-hmm. They have become. Well, babysitting dodgers. They walk, pivot, hide, you know.
Just bribe them with a tarantula, Laurie. Lolly.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
A banana tarantula.
Oh, we should have got more.
I know.
We can find them online. I'm sure
we can buy
them. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned date night, for example. So we've tried different things. Like one thing was every Friday evening would be our movie time. So make sure the kids go to sleep. We chill out and watch a movie.
Yeah.
It didn't quite happen every week. And then we tried at least once a month, we'll go out for dinner. On a Saturday, we'll get a babysitter or get some family to help.
Yeah.
That didn't quite happen. We also tried even in the work day, because the thing is we own our hours, right? So we can decide what we do in the work time. So we'll try and fill in a date lunch. So, you know, sometimes you stress out about evenings and weekends. That's kind of prime kids time as well. So we tried the date lunch thing as well. We did it and it didn't
continue.
And
then the score rings. They always blooming ring.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're still working on it, but we're trying. That's the thing.
Now, what me and Deepesh do is we work around the problem. Sorry, did you want to say something, Krista?
No, I just said, isn't every day date day around here?
Yeah, I mean, I turn up every day. I'm still here, right?
This is officially a date, just to let you know.
Yeah, we're on a double date.
Nice.
That's it.
We could have Zoom dates.
Yeah, do you know what? We actually have that with a couple we were on holiday with. We just had one a couple of days ago.
Absolutely.
Well, if you find us cool, invite us. We would like to.
We'll join.
We'll bring a bottle.
Wouldn't it be funny that we end up in the same restaurant chain, put the Zoom on, and we're all eating together?
Yeah.
We should do it.
We'd be McDonald's, because that's like the only universal restaurant.
Or Pizza Hut. You know. You
can, yeah, yes. Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut.
That's hilarious.
I'll have what he's having. No, we don't serve that here.
Yeah, pretty much. Eh? That's awesome. Yeah.
So I think what we do is we make good with the time that we have. So, you know, like I find it really exhausting getting ready for date night, doing myself up. I'm quite happy to get those kids into bed because we're quite rigid and this is how we make it work. They have set bedtime. We don't negotiate. Your bedtime is 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock, depending on your age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we say to them, they're not allowed back down unless someone's dying or there's an emergency. There's like very little reason for them to come down. And then that's our time. Like we will sit down, we'll snuggle up, we'll watch a movie,
Netflix.
We'll bring on the snacks if we want to order a meal. But we kind of have that, then we don't have the pressure of the babysitting.
Yeah.
But to be fair, because my kids have a very rigid routine, because we need to cope.
Yeah.
I can just say, look, my kids are asleep. Can you just like babysit for a bit for me? Because they're all down at 7.
And also one other thing I'd say is that we're in such a fortunate position that we have grandparents that do help out. So we went to Bangkok for about 10 days in December. Me and Shalina are on a business event where I was speaking. We went to Nashville, both of us. Yeah. We're going to Fiji in a few months. That kind of stuff, like, we don't take that for granted. I know that for other families with kids and stuff, it can be a lot harder.
I thought make you laugh. We went to a Facebook event in Belgium. And we got a phone call to say that our pipes had burst in the house and it was flooded.
Oh. No.
And my grandparents had to move out and his dad had to come with his sucky Hoover. Oh, and they spent 3 days. And I was like, thank God we're here. I could not go.
We're going to get it. No, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, what was I going to say?
You know what? It has been good for us to go to functions and events and things and spend time together in that sense. Even the whole idea of learning, constantly learning and us doing it together, I find that is helpful for our relationship.
Absolutely.
And right, we have four, it's busy trying to get away.
And you get to meet people that are on the journey with you and get it. Like, you know, if a child just runs through the room right now, it's fine because we all have that. We don't openly say it, but we've all got the signals like, you know, and it's okay because they're your kids. They're going to grow up and they're part of this whole dynamics. And that's cool.
Yeah, they are. That's the thing that I love about it too, is just, you know, because I truly believe that any business that you're in, right, whether both parents are physically working in the business or just one, it is a family, you know, a family commitment. Do you know what I mean? And even if that the spouse is, you know, taking care of the kids or the house, like that in itself is huge. So I don't know, like this year, I want to try and bring more light to that as well. Right. Yeah. Because first of all, it's not easy, I think, for any dynamic. Like there, we've met couples too. And I have a lot of friends who, you know, maybe the wife is the entrepreneur or the husband and the other one completely doesn't understand them either. Cause they just don't understand, you know, how their brain works. Or like you said earlier, Shalina, about, you know, like, reminding yourself that they're doing this for the family. Do you know what I mean? So it's cool because we've gone through different transitions where like he was the entrepreneur first when I was in the corporate world and I was in that spot and I had that resentment and I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
why are you networking?
Always, why are you always meeting all these
people?
I want to say, I used to call them whores.
What? Krista! No. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. No, but I'm just saying where I was like, why do you have to go out for lunch with people all the time? I didn't get it. Yeah. Now I'm like, whoa, like I understand, right? So
what I would say is our biggest strength, because we talked about this a bit earlier, I think one of our greatest strengths is we both kind of studied in the same degree at university. So we met at university. Yes. So in terms of like, we both did computing. So we had that same wavelength from day dot. Our personalities, if you haven't gathered this from the interview, we're opposites.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And where I have weakness, Deepesh will pull me up and give me that strength and pick me up and fill in those gaps.
Yes.
And I hope, do I do that for you?
Of course.
Oh, God, warm up later. No, but I think that's what makes us a really strong combination. And like Deepesh says, like before, Deepesh, I really used to say, Deepesh, you're so amazing. You are so good. You really need to get on those rooftops and shout it out. Yeah. And he's so modest in himself. He wouldn't do that. And now he says the same thing to me. He says, Shalina, you're amazing. You do all this stuff in the background. Like you're basically, people don't know how good you are. Yes. And I'm like, I know, but you know, my priority is the kids and just keeping things running. Yeah. But I think that's one of the biggest things that we're working on, is just giving myself the acknowledgement and presence, because yes, I am a mom. Yes, I am all the... But I'm also a person. And this is another thing that we find quite amusing when we have, like when we went to the conference together just recently, me and Deepesh always joke, when we have that quality time together, like, oh, we still like each other because we never had that time. It's like 16, 17 years on. Oh my God, you still make me laugh. I like having dinner with you because you never get a minute.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And you know, that's the magic, I think, of, you know, having a strong relationship and understanding it. Any relationship you have in your life, friendship, you know, whatever, family, marriage, is always work, right? And we've been together long enough too now where we can look back and look at those different times where we have done that for each other too, right?
Yes.
You become each other's cheerleaders. And mm-hmm. sometimes they're...
And you need it, because if you're modest...
But that's how you grow together, right? And it's like, let me push you up. And I've been doing that for you for quite a while, the last couple of years. I'm like, Ed, like, you're actually the real, like, power behind us all. Like, come on, just, you know...
Well, when you go through a transition where you're leaving a partnership with another, like a partner, and winding down your baby that you spent, you know, almost a decade on as an agency, and it grew and blew up, and then you all of a sudden went, whoa, I'm not really happy doing what I'm doing and I want to change. That's really hard. So yeah, she's been very much the cheerleader and been trying to, you know, boost me in that sense, right?
But we see things like in other people sooner than they see it in themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So anyways,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
There's just one more story I want to share with you guys about how spending time with the family and this flexibility has really brought some fun into our lives. So because we have this flexible work schedule, lots of times my kids will say, "Oh, right, we've got assembly and we've got to turn up and we can do that." And they said, "Can anyone bring their parents in to talk about their jobs?" He's smiling. So I said, Dee, let's do it. Let's go in and go, like, we've got, like, the whole lot. We went to, like, every year in the whole school. Like, we were, like, serial parents. And they're all sitting there, and you're like, oh, you could see the kids just like, God, your job's so boring. I remember my son's the oldest one, and they had a pharmacist come in. And the poor lady, she really done a good job. She's like, so if you've got this, and I've got, how many mils do you need to take? And they're all calculating, you know, 10 mils. And then they started talking about salary, and she's like, a part-time pharmacist can earn this much, and a full-time, because you can earn up to £90,000. And everyone was like, because they're like all in awe. And then Deepesh got up, and he did a really good job. He had all these logos. He's like, which ones do you remember? Oh, that's my brand advertising. He was really like, it was really interactive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then later on, they go, so how much do you earn? And Deepesh's like, more than the pharmacist. And then everyone's going to my son, oh my God, your dad's a millionaire. Your dad. And like, they've got no concept, but it's just really funny. And then one day, my son came in, he's like, Dad, you're famous. And he goes, what happened? He goes, we all Googled our parents, but you came up. So really, the family are part of it, and it's really cool.
And actually, the interesting thing is, when fidget spinners were big, you know, 12 months, 24 months ago, whenever it was, so my son, the 11-year-old, wanted to buy one. I said, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's £2-3, so about $4-5. And I said, let me show you where you can actually buy it from in China and how much they're charging. So I took him to AliExpress, mm-hmm. and I said, here's your fidget spinner. It costs 30 cents, like 10p, 20p, whatever it is. And I said, you go to the shop and they charge you 10 times that. And he's like, why do they do that? I said, well, they can, because it's, you know, there's a explaining supply and demand and stuff like that. And he was really intrigued. Like, and I said, this is the stuff I do as well. Like, I can find products and I can sell it through Facebook. I could see the cogs whirring in his mind and stuff like that. And I said, if you come up with ideas, if you're on the playground and you see some cool toys that your friends are playing with,
tell us, it's market research.
Absolutely. He's our man on the ground. Tell us what people are playing with. I said, I can create you a store. I can show you how Facebook works. And he's really interested. So that for me is a really cool part of parenting, where you can actually teach them the concepts of entrepreneurship. Like, if I go back to when I was a kid, we grew up poor and all that kind of stuff, couldn't afford stuff. I actually made money through car washing. That was my pocket money. And that I had this thing of wanting to create my own money. And then school showed me that that wasn't the way. You were supposed to actually get grades, go to uni and get a job. So literally for 10 years, that's all I was conditioned into. And then in 2009, when we had that jolt, when I lost my job, then I realized, you know what? I can create my own income. I can create my own wealth. And I want my kids to know that. I want my kids to know you don't have to go and get that degree. When you get to the end of the schooling system, you make a choice. You can either go and, you know, like, for example, I don't believe in people that say you don't need to go to uni or whatever it is. If you're going to be a doctor, you do.
Yes.
You know, you can't be an entrepreneur, a doctor, or that's just learnt on Google and start operating.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that you do need to. But, you know, like, for example, with me, I was forced to go to uni. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was told that was a thing that you do. And I want my kids to have that choice as well, so that even though school is trying to condition them into a 9-to-5 job, I want them to know that your parents are not doing that. We chose to have our own life and do what we want. I can go and spend 2 weeks in Thailand and work from there if I want. And I want my kids to know that as well.
Exactly. You know, the fidget spinner is awesome. And I think when I was doing the boutique from home and stuff, my kids were exposed to that, right? The business thing. I even had a little desk set up for them. And my daughter was like, it's named after me. So like, I am the boss, right? Like, she was like, I had to pass decisions by her, like where the stamp went on the packages and stuff, right? But we actually did import fidget spinners for her to sell at the time, because her brain was working like that. And we actually mapped out a little business plan, right? So yeah, it was cool. This story is probably for another time, but like, you should listen to the kids. They're the smart ones. My daughter told me for months to bring this certain toy in at Christmas time to the boutique. And I was like, no, honey. Yeah. Okay. We don't really do toys, but at Christmas I would bring in different stuff. And we had a
Hatchimal incident. Do you know what Hatchimals are? Okay.
I don't know if we should talk about it on
Yeah,
here.
Probably not. We'll talk about it later. Just put it this way. Krista sold $75,000 in 3 hours
of
By accident.
By accident. We'll save that for another day because that's a long story. But
so that's the power of Facebook and building your tribe and community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just that whole idea, your train of thought, which is incredible, of like, okay, my children, you're cognizant that they're going through a system and being conditioned a certain way. Yeah. And whether it's through grade school and all the way up.
Them.
Yeah. So giving them that opportunity to say, hey, you can buy a fidget spinner here, you can source it, and then you can sell it here is truly amazing.
And well, to start thinking that way. And I just loved what you said when you're like, pay attention on the playground, right? But like, you know, they're the market, but really it's the parents. Like, we're buying it for the children. So yeah. I was like, you know what? Like, we should like start a business where like, we're like Santa Claus and we call all the families and ask to talk to the kids and ask for their Christmas list like months before.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're just getting 1 second.
Okay. Oh, sorry. No problem. So, you know, one of the other things I was going to ask you is like, around, you know, like as it relates to Facebook, and maybe there were some things that you wanted to talk about that as far as like trending and, you know, like new, you know, I guess new trends and in Facebook, just because that's something that, I mean, you're steeped in and I always have curiosity. So maybe we chat about that a bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, so I run a Facebook ads agency, and I kind of on the second business we've got, we do training, coaching, masterminds, etc. One of the biggest things I found since going into the kind of info space is people, that the biggest problem is not Facebook ads. Like, it's not learning how to run Facebook ads, it's how to market properly. So where my focus is right now, and you know, where we're positioning our services and our products, is around being better at marketing and being great at sales. So marketing is filling the funnel, sales is converting. Facebook is just a medium, is one of many mediums out there. And so like, I try and to some extent distance myself from being a Facebook ads expert, because honestly, there are people who know the platform better than I do. I'm in a lot of these forums, and some of the stuff that they're talking about, all the technical stuff, I have to go and research myself. I'm not so clued up with it. However, give me a product, a service, and an audience, and I can sell to them. That's all it is. And I know how to manipulate Facebook to make that work. So where I try and really get people to focus on is, and you may have seen it, like there are entrepreneurs out there, like especially in the ClickFunnels community, they don't get Facebook ads, but they still make seven figures because they have a great product or service. They really understand their avatar and they've solved a problem. And then Facebook just works. And then you've got other people who don't have such a great product or service, don't really know their avatar, and they're hacking around with Facebook. Why is Facebook not working? I'm stressed out. Facebook it hates me and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you can see the difference between it. So where I try and focus people in on is, you know, it starts with your products and service and your avatar, and then Facebook falls into it. So when I'm kind of coaching people, I think some people are surprised that I'm not so deep into Facebook ads. And, you know, this is exactly how the platform works. And these are all the hacks and stuff like that. Yes, there's a layer of that, but that's not where I start. So to give you an example, I had two entrepreneurs that flew in from New York a month or two ago. And they wanted me to go deep into their business and figure out why Facebook was working 6 months ago and now it's just died on them.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, honestly, it felt like they were disappointed because I didn't give them all this magic and mastery and stuff on Facebook ads. And I said, here's your problem, your proposition, your avatar, your sales funnel. And I went through and kind of fixed up what they needed to do. And at the end of the session, I just could sense that they didn't feel as satisfied.
Can I just intervene? It's that concept. You think you know what you want.
Yeah.
But, and this brings, do you remember Nanny McPhee?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you want me, I won't be there. But when you don't need me, I'll turn. That's basically what it is. He's coming with this idea of what he or she needs. But sometimes and this is what cuts us to the rest. It's not about money. It's about doing the right thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so kind of what we went through this session, and they left, and I gave them kind of a plan of action and stuff, and they didn't feel like they bought into it. And literally last week I got a messenger message, and he goes, you won't believe the numbers we're seeing. We're going to create such a great case study for you. It's like completely blown up. And part of me is not surprised, but part of me is also quite happy that they've found that as well. So like what I try and kind of focus on Facebook is, yes, follow some of the Facebook trends. Like for example, when you're setting budgets in Facebook, generally you do it at the ad set level. By September of 2019, you'll have to do it at the campaign level. And there's small things that there's like this that Facebook are changing. Facebook favor bigger audiences rather than small ones. Facebook favor a fast page load, high converting website, great page engagement, great ad and audience engagement. They've actually introduced three new metrics along those lines as well. So there's lots of the kind of technicalities that go on. And I make sure I keep up to date with it, whether it's through forums or my own testing or through Facebook directly. But honestly, the stuff I do with Facebook ads is the stuff I was doing in 2014.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. The platform changes and you adapt, but my marketing approach is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the ads and the campaigns I was running years ago, it's the same stuff.
Yeah. And I think that that's so important. And I like what you said too about like you, people don't know what they don't know, right? And when you know these things and the bigger picture and the bigger strategy and how you can actually help people, doesn't it just feel wrong to even sell them a little piece of it anyways? It's like you're stealing from them. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, like just doing Facebook ads or just doing SEO or just putting a billboard up in the city or whatever is not really the full picture of the machine that needs to be working together to
It's like driving traffic to a wall, right?
Yeah.
And that's going on every day. I mean, I know that you know, our agency, we focused on Google AdWords and SEO related.
But a lot of times, like you said, though, clients will come and they'll say like, okay, this is what we want. And then a lot of traditional agencies, that's just what they give them. Do you know what I mean?
So. Absolutely. And then, you know, we are like that as an agency. We have had instances where a client has said, you know, we want you to scale, et cetera, et cetera. And we've rejected them because we said, you're not ready for us yet. You don't understand who your avatar is. Your sales funnel is broken. And we can come in and fix those, but that's not what they want. They just want fast scaling. They want to go to 7 and 8 figures.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look on the contrast. Yeah, absolutely. Like, for example, in 2018, in the summer, a client approached us. And initially we said no because we were quite busy at the time. But we took the client on and their goal was to get to 8 figures by 2019. And we did it in 4 months. Like, we took them from low 7 figures to, I think, $16 million in revenue in 4 months on Facebook. That's insane. But they had everything in place. They had all the ducks lined up. Without that, we wouldn't have done it. So, like, and I even tell people, I don't have a magic bullet that can take your business to the same numbers because you probably don't have those ducks lined up. Let's line up the ducks first, and then you can scale. And that's it's not honestly, Facebook ads is not rocket science.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's interesting.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us your superpowers? It's a question we always ask all of our guests. Mm-hmm. So
he's smiling. I'm his superpower.
There
you
go.
I'm sure you each have your own as well.
Do you know what keeps us going? I think it's not a matter of intellect or understanding the platform. That I think what really keeps us going through like the bad times and the ups is our sheer humor. Because you'd never know I'm having a bad moment. I'd be laughing all day long if I could. And I think that keeps us both going. And Deepa, she's got a secretly wicked sense of humor as well, which really helps.
Nice.
I think if I was going to pick out one superpower, I think it would, it's sometimes a superpower, sometimes it's not. It's kind of never being satisfied. Like, I know when I've done something well and people are happy and they've got results or whatever it is, I'm still not happy because I'm always introspecting myself and saying, you know, what could I have done better? And sometimes it is overly critical, but I think that's the thing that keeps me at the top of my game. Like, for example, I cook the best pasta in the house. I cook the best salmon. I make the best egg. It's because I want it to be awesome. Like, I don't like it to be mediocre, and I will go and research it. And I'll
go
test it.
He doesn't do good toast.
Yeah, toast is different.
That's me. That's why I'm teasing him back.
But I want it to be the best. If I'm going to put my effort in, it has to be worth it. So that's kind of my thing, I think.
And the other thing, one of the questions you asked, what makes us different? What I really like about me and Deepish as a unit is we have an ethic about us. We have a standing where we always think about what's the right thing to do. It's not always a business decision. Am I delivering the right thing to this customer? For example, we don't promote products that we know are not good for people because it doesn't sit with us well. And we've got family, we've got children. And these are one of the values that I think really is quite a strength and something that I think really cuts us above the rest. It's not all about money. Mm-hmm. It's about doing the right thing. And that's a quality that we both share and that's really important to our business.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really important too, to get on that page, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we always ask our guests to ask us a question. Maybe there's something that you want to, if you have one, like we, yeah. Anything?
Okay, I'll ask you one. I'm gonna like, because you said you want us to stump you, I'm gonna ask you one that you can both answer. What's the one thing that you'd love to improve about the other person? We're talking business. Let's just focus on business. Let's not go personal. What, from a business point of view?
From a business point of view.
Yeah.
For me, we talked about this last night. Don't be so sensitive. You know what, and this, I just wish that he would like move faster. I'm always like very, 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 but at the same time he might wish that I would move slower. Like in my head, nothing is impossible. Like nothing. Like if you tell me you can't do this, it's like, okay, that's a problem, that's a challenge, let's figure out how we're gonna do it. I find he's more safe. So when I walk in the room and I'm like, oh my God, Ed, he's telling me all the reasons why we can't. So we, sometimes our conversations don't get past where they need to go for the first 10 minutes. Cause I'm like, you just deflated me, but he doesn't understand. He's just being safe. And I'm like, no, there's no, like nothing's in the way. I've shoveled all the sidewalk. The path is clear. Let's go. So
I'm analytical. No, like I look at stuff and go, okay.
You're not though.
What's where's the pitfalls?
So what would you change about me?
Okay, I gotta think about this, Dipesh. This will be a debate after.
Keep it safe.
Keep it safe. What would I change about Krista? Nothing.
No, for real. For real.
From a business point of view. Just as entrepreneurs.
You need to call 111 now or later.
Okay. Honestly, and I think I've mentioned this in an interview or something before, it's like, and I'm sure you guys get this, it's like when you have a personal relationship, there's that highway that's already paved. So when we start talking about business stuff and on, you know, like stuff about our business and where we're going and what we're doing, a lot of times I'll find that that communication is personal. Like if she says, hey, I've got this great idea, da 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 da, and I'll say,
you're just saying what I said. What would you change about me? The fact that I don't let you talk, maybe?
That's right. No. Let me talk. That's what it would be.
No, for real, Ed.
No,
sorry.
Oh my gosh, this is a hard one.
No, Dipesh. It's not. See, can I
say that I stumped you? We're running out of time here.
Yeah. Holy.
We'll continue it later so you can do it now.
Well, let's just say for health and safety purposes, we'll pause.
Yeah. I don't know. What would I change about you?
It's okay.
You did stump me,
Dipesh.
Like, seriously,
I'm like, I know it's hard. I'm really good.
Well, there you go.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, don't mess with the best.
Right? And so what's going to happen is when we finish this, I'll have like five. I'll be like, okay. Anyway.
Tell it to the banister.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't tell our guests or our listeners video. I tripped and hit a banister, so she didn't have the boxing gloves on or anything like that.
It's a different type of getting stumped.
Yeah, that's right. It is. So, thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks for
having us.
Yes. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please go ahead and leave us a review. Do us a favor as well. Take a screenshot, share this episode on your social media platforms on Instagram or on Facebook with your friends. We would love to have them. And for those of you who might be interested in actually watching the video version of our interviews, head on over to our YouTube channel and just look up Krista and Ed and you will see them there. Now, a couple things I wanted to just let you guys know as well. If there's ever anything that Ed and I can help you with when it comes to marketing and sales, head on over to our website, kristined.com. There you will find some more information about who we are, what we've done, and the types of services that we can help you with. Our most recent, we have launched our virtual CMO program, which we are so excited about. And another thing that you don't want to miss out on, guys, and this is happening the week of April 30th. We have teamed up with Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, and Russell Brunson for a very special launch that is going to change the world. So head on over to our website, check out more information about us, and we thank you again for listening. One more thing before we finish up this episode. If you guys are interested to get in touch with Dipesh and Shalina to find out more about what they can offer you and your business, feel free to go to their website, dipeshmandilia.com.